Well, it's good to see you. God bless you. And once again, God bless all fathers. How many present, if I may ask, if you would care to raise your hand, how many fathers are present today? How many do we have? Oh, my goodness gracious me. Congratulations, guys. God bless you. May you be accorded the honor and respect that is your due, as, of course, we reciprocate in the same way on Mother's Day. God bless you. Now, I got a little bit of a story here. We do have a gift for you. We have a keychain that the original intent was to give it to all the dads present, but by the number of hands raised, here's what happened. They're out in the back, and I ordered them off of Amazon, Amazon Prime. I mean, that's the deal. I mean, they get here real quick, and half the order out there. The other half of the order, and this hasn't happened to me very frequently on Amazon, was something other than what we ordered. So we don't have all the key rings out there for you guys. What we got was Dramamine. No one in our household ordered Dramamine. So somebody who needs Dramamine got key rings instead. Maybe they thought that fathers or kids needed Dramamine. I don't know. So anyway, here's what I'd like to suggest. We have a bunch of them out there, but I don't know that we have enough for everybody. So let's be evangelistic about this. Okay, guys? If you would be so kind, grab one and give it to another father who is unchurched. Can I suggest that? Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you a story. This happened yesterday. I'm at Giant Eagle yesterday. And I look at this guy, and gosh dang, he looked familiar to me. And he looked at me, and I said, "Do I look familiar to you?" He said, "Yeah." And his name is Chris Gordon. And Chris and I haven't seen each other for about 4 years now. Chris is black, his wife is white, and they have two kids, 11 and 7. And Chris is unchurched right now. So I told him about the three-week series, Wednesday night series we got coming up. We'll give it another shot in September 11, 18, and 25. And I said, "Would you be interested and willing to come to this?" He said, "Yeah, I would." So he gave me his contact information. If there are any of those key rings left, I'm going to give one to Chris Gordon, and I'm going to give one to Joel Webster. Now, Joel is another one who's a little bit unchurched here. And Joel is ready to come on Wednesday nights for a dinner discussion. Because some folk, you know, they aren't ready quite to walk through the doors of a church on Sunday morning. And for a visitor or for someone who's unchurched, that's a very intimidating experience, especially if you don't know anybody. I mean, you're sitting there and you feel alone, in spite of the fact there are a lot of people sitting around. So we'll have a dinner discussion and all that good stuff. So give thought to that. So that's what I'm going to do. So I'll let you guys first come, first served. If you're going to give this away to somebody, give thought to that and do that. And any left over, and I will do that. And by the way, and this is for everyone here, not just the fathers, let me challenge you to pray for somebody. Let me challenge you. Let me invite, and it's not me, it's sort of like the Lord. Go and make disciples. Are you going? So, yeah, amen. So, you get my drift. So what I'm saying is you have now a little bit of time, a couple of months. I know that, I mean, I'd be really surprised that everyone here knows at least one unchurched person. And I use the word unchurched because they may have come to Christ and they be maybe inactive in their Christian life. Maybe they don't know Christ yet. Who knows? Maybe they're sort of working on it and they're struggling. Maybe they're fighting a little bit. I know a couple like that, you know. So this is a great way simply just to take a very simple step. You'll hear more about it come August by way of a dinner discussion series. Three nights only, nice, and it'll be a good thing. So let me challenge you to pray for someone you know who's unchurched and then consider inviting them on Wednesday, September 11th, when that time comes. So there's that. Okay, let's see. What else we got going here? I guess that's that. So, we are here by God's grace to hear from Him. And He has spoken. And He has spoken through His Word. So, two passages for today. One is Romans 5, 1 through 8. And here we are. And I will read it here, and you will see it, and you can follow along. And this is what we hear and see, not in human terms, but from God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. Let me pause here. By God's grace, that reality is by his grace. What is happening right now? Here, we pray. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. May his name be praised. Now, let's turn over to 1 John, John's first letter. This is chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Wow. So, Lord, thank you so much once again for this time. We love you, and Lord, may it be by your Holy Spirit that you help us to understand what you have written here and apply it to each of us in accord with what you know where we're at and what your next step for us. So may it be, Lord, now in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, God bless all you fathers. Some of you, for some of you, and all of us, our fathers are still living. For some of us, not so. I'm in that second category. It was over 20 years ago when my dad died. I was very fortunate to have a father who loved me, a precious, precious gift. After my dad died, it took me 7 years to come to closure. Yeah, I would drive, I grew up in Connecticut, and he's buried there along with my mom. And whenever I would do a loop through New England, and to this day, I still drive to New Haven and drive to the cemetery and just pay my respects at his graveside. And remember, it took me 7 years. I would visit the gravesite, and it was an expression of my own heart. I would talk to him. My emotions are, even now, I grieve. And I can remember one of the last things that I said to him before he died was, "Thank you, Dad. Thank you for being the kind of dad you were for me and for my brothers and sister. I still miss him." Used to be that I'd think of him literally every day. Now, I would say 20 years later, once a week, at least, I think of my dad. As a matter of fact, one of our sons has his dog tag from World War II. He wears it. He's wearing it this morning. The thing I'm so grateful for in my story, and I know that there are many stories here, but the thing I'm so grateful for is how devoted my own dad was to mom and to us kids. The one reality that we could count on, never a question, was his devotion to mom, and that was the greatest gift of all, I think. And they had a real affection for each other. One time I can remember as a kid, maybe junior high, and I thought I heard a fight. Well, that sort of worried me, so I ran upstairs. Well, what was happening was mom was chasing dad around the table, and dad was crying out, "Help, help!" Well, they were having some fun. They were teasing each other. Nothing to worry about. He would take us. He loved forestry, and he actually, there was a section of the Appalachian Trail that for a while during his life he was the caretaker of. Walk along that section and just, you know, anything going by way of logs or trees or something, it was his job, volunteer kind of thing. He loved going for walks out in the woods, and some of my memories include the walks we would go, local mountain, local park, family dog, and just going for a walk and enjoying the beauty, just being together as a family. Vacations, lots of vacations. I'm sure bore you to tears with all the stories of the vacations we took, but the greatest impact and the legacy that the legacy of his life, and I think I have two brothers, they still are living. Our sister passed away a number of years ago from breast cancer. But the legacy of his life, and my brothers would say this too if they were here right now, they'd say the same thing. Absolute integrity. Absolute character. Always do the right thing. When you're counting money or handling money, always do the right thing. Always tell the truth. Always do your job. By the way, do a good one. Always accept responsibility. I wonder, all those character qualities, different generation, different day. He grew up during the Depression. He was in World War II. I don't know if we haven't lost something since that time. I hope you had a father who loved you. I know that's not true for everybody. If there's one reality that has called and I would say almost driven me, but certainly in the ministry that we had been here prior to linking up here with Calvary, over in Canton, and the family life, or lack of it. So many kids who don't have a father. Got a biological father, of course, but like a football player for the New York Giants said one time at a church where I was pastor in my own story, any knucklehead can become a father. It takes a man. No, excuse me, I misquote him. Any knucklehead can get a girl pregnant. It takes a man to be a father. So I don't know what your story is. The Lord knows. But certainly in our work, and if I may allude to my wife Joanne's work this past year, well, past 3 years in the city of Canton, inner city situation, and how many kids used to be in a classroom, you know, say a classroom of 20 kids, there might be two kids who didn't have both parents. Well, now it's the flip of that. Classroom of 20 kids, if both kids, if two kids have both their parents, that's a pretty good batting average. And by the way, Joanne and I were by God's grace, going to South Africa, been appointed there. South Africa has the highest rate of fatherlessness in the world. It's normal. And the women expect this too, to get a woman pregnant, but not be on site from that point on. What's up with that? And you know what? I don't know if we aren't there yet, but we're certainly getting there. The trend is not encouraging. You know the deal. This is the choir here. I know, and I'm sort of singing to the choir, but I just sort of scanned some of the data, some of the government data. Could give you the reference website and all that stuff if you want. But in one generation from 1960, now this is in the white population. There are different demographic groups. There are Hispanics, there are blacks, and all that stuff that, you know, the government tracks. There's only whites. In 1960, only 5% of births were to an unmarried woman. 5%. Today, among whites, that's 40%. And cohabitation is sort of part of that. You know, unmarried, well, you know, there might be a guy around. But something has happened. And from my two cents, and this is not limited to the Bible, it just makes common sense. It seems to me that if two people bring a child into the world, then both people should sort of continue to be there. I don't know. So you know the deal. And you know how important a father is to a daughter, her feminine self-image. And I've seen it. I've seen girls who had father hunger and they started looking for love in the wrong places because their emotional need was so deep. But also boys, you know how boys need their dad. There's something about the male soul, about guys, the guy thing. You need that bonding from your dad. And there's one proverb that I don't know, and this is not perhaps as PC as some might see it these days, but a boy is not a man until his father says so. Boy, I tell you, that's true in Africa. And South Africa, it's an uncle, not the dad, but it's an uncle who boys look to, a brother of the mother that they look to for a male bonding. I don't know, in my years of service as a pastor, I don't know of one single mom with teenage boys who wasn't looking for some male relationship or some male involvement, some adult male involvement for her sons. I don't know what that's about. Well, I do know what that's about. And by the way, dads, God bless you for being here. God bless you for sitting there. By the way, all men, God bless you for sitting there, because I do think that men are, we do play a unique role and an important role. Role by way of modeling, serving, of leading. And at one time, now this is a little bit pre-electronic revolution, you know, pre-cell phones and all that stuff. But one outfit, it's called David C. Cook, they tracked what happened when there were Christian parents or parents who brought their kids to church at the time. Again, this is pre-electronic, so be a little curveball in there today. But the deal is, okay, so, and they looked at if a kid went to church in their young years, where were they when they were, say, in their late 20s? And at that time, if a parent or parents sent their kids to church but did not go themselves, 5% of the time that kid would be there further on down the road. Now, if the mom went to church and brought her a kid, then, okay, and you got to go through the college thing and the younger adult thing and all that stuff, and there's a speed bump there. Okay, but go to your late 20s. How many of those kids are sitting there further on down the road? That jumped up to 30%. Now, dad goes to church, dad brings kid. At that time, 80%. They're there in their later 20s. That was then. Again, we got a real curveball with the electronic revolution, changing everything. But that does illustrate, I think, a continuing reality as to how significant and important us dads are, we guys are. And for those of you who are married, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might present her blameless and spotless. And the call of a guy is to be willing to die the way that Jesus was for his wife, the way that Jesus did for his bride. I don't care what part of the world you're in, but that's a message that really needs to get out there big time. Just saying. But here's the grace gift. Here's the grace gift of, you know, today's Father's Day and all that. Here's the grace gift I believe that that we can all celebrate. Okay, we're celebrating you dads today. We all are fortunate to have a father who loves us. Every day, let me put it this way, every day is Father's Day. Capital F. And what I'd like to do is, oh my goodness gracious, look at what we read today from the Word of God. Look at how God demonstrates his love for us. And that while we were sinners, while we were broken, while we were running, doing everything but listening to him, Christ died for us. What did Jesus say at the Last Supper? What greater love has anyone than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends? You are my friends if you do what I tell you. I ask you, look at love in your life. Look at every person you know, including the ones you love the most. Who loves you more than Jesus? Because the person you may be thinking about is a fallen, broken person also. And they may not have experienced the love of God. Well, none of us has through our parents. That was God's original plan. God's original plan, go back to Genesis 1 and 2, go back to creation. God's original plan was that our fathers and our mothers would reflect God's own nature. And it's good. Look at Genesis 1 and 2. Look at every stage of creation. God did this, and that's good. God did this, that's cool. God did this, that's good. God did this, that's good. The first thing in the Bible that was not good was that man was alone. So I said, okay, got to do something about that. Let's do something. Because that's God's nature. So go back to Genesis 1 and 2. Go back to Adam and Eve before the fall. Go back, look at what life was like. And the richness of the presence and the love that Adam and Eve had with God and with each other. By the way, what does Jesus say is the summary of this book? Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. That's it. And my friends, got to watch what I say here a little bit. It's good. Let me put it this way. The plumb line that God has for his kingdom and for his church is that. Love the Lord, love our neighbors as ourselves. That's it. And no matter who we are, and no matter, you know, what body of Christ, may God be praised. But no matter what's going on in any church, that's how he looks at it. That is the command. That is what will happen when you and I come before him. Did you love me? Did you love others? That's it. That's the measure. That's Genesis 1 and 2. It was happening back then. It was happening. And look at what God did. what God did was, as a demonstration of his grace, as an expression of his grace and his love, you know, he said to Adam and Eve, you guys can look at all the trees around here. I had a banana this morning. I like bananas. I had some strawberries. I like strawberries, okay? You guys can eat of any tree in the garden. Except this one over here. Any tree in the garden. Now, can you imagine what would it be like if we were able to give you a gift card to any restaurant and every restaurant in the greater Canton area, in Stark County. And there was no balance on it. It was unlimited. Wouldn't that be really cool? You could go anywhere and never have to pay for it. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, like, I like Wendy's. You know? How does Wendy's do it? Their hamburger buns are always fresh. So, you know, and on Wendy's, you drive by, it says, our recipe, fresh is our recipe. Well, you know, they're right. I haven't missed yet. I like Wendy's. But, you know, every now and then, and by the way, over the course of time, this is how Joanne and I kept in touch with each other through the years of marriage and ministry, is we'd go out for a date regularly. Sometimes every week, and if not that, at least every month, as far as I can remember. And, you know, it's nice to go out on a special date, especially your anniversary or something, dress up a little bit, go to a really nice restaurant. What would it be like if you had, you know, no matter who you are, if you had a gift card and you could go any restaurant, anywhere, no balance, order what you want, it's yours. That's what God did with Adam and Eve in the garden, except this one. Anyone and everyone, except this one. By his grace. And you know what happened. You know what that would be like? I can't think of a restaurant that I would impugn or attribute this to, but suppose there was one restaurant on Whipple, and God said, any restaurant, if you eat over there at that one, you're going to die because their food's so bad or something, you know? I mean, you get my drift. I wouldn't go there, would you? Any and every, except that one. That, my friends, is Genesis 1 and 2. And you know what happened in Genesis 3. And the truth is, you and I eat of that tree every day when we sin. And if you're like me, there ain't a day in my mind or in my heart because of my fallen nature when I just automatically, I don't know about you, but I do. I don't, but the Bible says, he who says is without sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's from the first chapter of 1 John. That's what I like about the Bible. It gives it to you straight. You may not like it, but that's okay, because it's for your good, for our good. That's what the Bible says. So I don't know if anyone in this room can stand up and say, yeah, I didn't sin yesterday. That's not me. I just got to say. And the truth is, if on this video screen back here, there's a DVD of my heart, I'd be so embarrassed, I'd probably run out of here. And that's the book of life. That's all of us. Now, there's good news about our Father. He sees that, and he loves us anyway. That's grace. Seeing you not at your best, but your worst. And he knows more than you do about yourself. He sees everything about us. He gazes at our brokenness. He gazes at our sin. And he still loves us, and he still reaches out to us. Now, that's good news. That's why every day is a Father's Day. After Genesis 3, he could have said, that's it. Let's go to Genesis 22. Let's wrap this thing up right now. This thing's a mess. You guys blew it. I gave you the world. You did that. You listened to Satan rather than me. They deserved what they got. But God didn't go to Genesis 22 and wrap it up. He kept going with us. That, my friends, is grace. And time after 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 time, I'd love to go through the Old Testament with you right now. We got to get out of here at some point. Don't have the time for that. I'd love to show you, to look together with you and celebrate the nature of God, how time after time after time, he chases after us. He runs after us. Every time you and I fall short of the glory of God, he still loves us and he still chases after us and he still wants us back. And that's why Jesus. Go to Jeremiah 31, read verses 31 through 34. To sum it all up, in the Old Testament, this ain't working this way. You know this, I like manual transmission cars. I like driving manual transmission. To put it, this is one analogy I use. You know, sort of the Old Testament is manual transmission, doing it ourselves, having to be obedient to the law, all that stuff. Jeremiah 31, God says, I will make a new covenant now. It's not going to be like the old covenant that I made with Israel's forefathers, because they broke my covenant. I kept loving on them, but they kept on, the biblical term is prostituting themselves. They kept on prostituting themselves spiritually. By the way, Hosea, read Hosea chapters 1 through 3. Israel is prostituting herself. They couldn't keep the first two commandments, much less the other eight. And to as an illustration of his love for Israel in spite of her prostituting herself, God calls Hosea to marry a prostitute. And he does. He's obedient. They have two children together. And Hosea, God calls Hosea to still love and be faithful to his wife in spite of the fact that she is unfaithful to him, that she is still prostituting herself. And what God was doing was God was using Hosea at that moment, and throughout the Bible we see this, that is the nature of his love for us. It is unconditional. He completely pours it out all the time. So that in Jeremiah 31, he says, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I'm going to go from manual transmission to automatic transmission. I'll do it myself. I'll fulfill the law myself. I'll take your final exam for you. I'll take care of it on the cross and the resurrection. So that now, when Jesus said it's finished, you and I were in the future, in time. All my sins were on Jesus' mind, but he said, it's done now. It's paid for. All your sins were paid for too, all of us. And that, my friends, is grace. That's how much he loves us. And that's good news. And every day is a day to honor and celebrate and rejoice in the goodness of grace of God. Because for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. You and I have no idea. You and I have no idea. If you know Jesus, if Jesus lives in you, you and I have no idea how good he is and what he's going to do when we see him face to face. I could tell you. Two dear friends of mine passed away a week and a half ago. My own pastor and one of the guys in my prayer group. I could tell you story after story. I would say out of over 30 years in ministry, over half the time, last 15, 20 years or so, somebody comes and tells me a story of what happened at or near the moment of death. You go, wow. You and I have no idea. We really don't. We see God's the incredible grace of God on the cross, yes, and the resurrection, yes, even God becoming a human being, the incredible grace. The angels rejoiced at that mystery at Jesus' birth. You know that. Incredible grace. The angels are going, this is amazing. And even for that, even for what we see in the Bible, even for what we see in Jesus, when, if you know him, when he looks into your eyes after you've taken your last breath, oh my, such goodness and grace. So, happy Father's Day. One last thought, then we'll pray. Okay, so what? So what do we do? Well, one passage we didn't read from Romans is one that comes after chapter 5 there. Romans chapter 8. By the way, chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved, to redeem everything. That's his grace. And then what the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 26 is the Holy Spirit is praying for us, is interceding for us, for you. The Holy Spirit is praying for you. Ain't that cool? The Holy Spirit is praying for you in accord with the will of God. You have an advocate. You have the most wonderful counselor. You have the most wonderful presence. P-R-E-N-C-E, not T-S. By the way, that's what bugs me about Christmas. It's about P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, not P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. That's another sermon. But the Holy Spirit is praying for you, for your good, for your well-being. And he's got a plan for you. And by the way, he also wants to use you, because there are people in your life that he knows that really need him, and they need some love, they need some encouragement, they need something, and you are the very person God wants to use to broadcast that to that person, whoever it is. It ain't just about you. It's about him and his love and his grace and others. We've seen that acrostic: joy, Jesus, others, yourself. I think that's biblical. So you got a job, you got a call, we all do, to reflect his love to others and to be there for others. You know the deal. Again, this is the choir here a little bit. And the Holy Spirit is praying for you that whatever his plan and purpose for you is would occur today. So, happy Father's Day. And by the way, make sure you're logged on. Make sure you're listening. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened, and granted in good measure. I don't know what God wants for you today or this week, but it's not my job. That's his. He does. Our job is simply to ask, Lord, show me what you have for me today. You do that. You do that every day. We do that. We do that every day. And his kingdom will come. And his will be done on earth as in heaven. That's it. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you are our Father. May your name be holy. May your kingdom continue to come. May your will continue to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant us every day what we need. Forgive us, Lord, our sin. As we forgive those who have sinned against us, do not let us fall into temptation, but deliver us, Lord, from evil. For, Lord, in your Son Jesus' name, we rejoice that yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.